This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hi there, welcome to a new episode of the Industrial AI Podcast. My name is Peter Seberg and I'm your host. Today I'm going to be talking to Harish Tampi. He's an AI ML engineer at Tata Consultancy Services. And Harish and I are going to be talking about industrial AI education. Hi, Harish.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for having me here. I am really glad to be here. Yeah, its topic is close to my heart. I am excited to share how industrial AI program has not only helped me with the cutting edge skill, but also empowered professionals like me to bridge the gap between domain expertise and AI-driven innovation. Yeah,
and that's exactly the same for me as well. We're gonna closely come to the trigger point why we're talking here. But maybe before that, just give a please general introduction to yourself to our audience.
Yeah, sure. My journey really highlights the idea of career fluidity. How one can evolve across the discipline where building a foundational experience. I began my career in mechanical design and process planning with over 18 years in aerospace manufacturing, working on assembly tool design, CAD modeling in CATIA, UGNX, and process planning. I was deeply involved in how things are made, literally. Okay. But about 4 to 5 years ago, I started becoming curious about how data and AI could enhance what we do in the factory floor. So I began exploring to machine learning for use cases like predictive maintenance, quality inspections, and production optimizations area. Then when I decided to transition and deepen my expertise with formally doing an MTech with industrial in IIT Madras. Today, I work as a result-driven AML engineer, applying over 5 years of AI experience in both the aerospace and automotive industries.
That sounds great. That was a very nice overview. And we're going to get into a little bit more detail just in a moment. But before we do that, I'm going to say, as I wrote to you, congratulations. Congratulations, because you graduated with an MTech, you already referred to it, in Industrial Artificial Intelligence from IIT, that is the Indian Institute of Technology from Madras. So again, congratulations.
Thank you, Peter.
And that was exactly the trigger. And we're going to come to that in a moment, how that trigger came to me. But before then, maybe talk a little bit about what it is that you are doing today, or what it is, maybe what it is that you have been doing, you know, in the last 2 years or the time before that, your current job, which is maybe changing because of the graduation, but we'll get into that later. So what it is that you have been doing at Tata Consultancy Services?
Absolutely. Yeah, Peter. So as I told, I started out as a mechanical engineer. Over the years, I worked across different areas in aerospace, transportation and manufacturing domains. So in early days, I was working on designing tools using for the aircraft assembly tool design, like a cockpit assembly, wings, fuselage section assembly. So for that, we need to use assembly tools. So the building of those tools required CAD design. It's actually consists of a concept design and detailed design and manufacturing. So first earlier career, I started with as a tool design engineer over a couple of aerospace manufacturing OEMs. So all are while I'm working with the TCS and working with the they are all my client partners. So in 2016, I went to Canada. There was working with another OEM supporting their manufacturing plan as a process planner. That was 2 years experience in Canada. Then after coming back to India, again, I opportunity to like work with again tool design assembly jigs for another OEM. That was the journey for me from the aerospace tool design engineering. So last 5 years, I am actually like transferred my tool design journey to data science and AML side. So from 2020, I started working on a data science project with that is within the engineering service or manufacturing area with the different customers. In 2022, I got an opportunity to take up this industrial AMTech from IIT Madras. So then I started pursuing my MTech in industrial AI.
Okay, well, thanks for that. It was that's a great overview. We're going to be looking into some of that in more detail. Now, some of our listeners are going to think, how does Peter know about Harish from India, which is far away from Peter's hometown, graduating? Well, that is because Harish and I, we are connected on LinkedIn. And Harish, you shared a post, which is actually from your wife, I understand, Subha. And she was saying how proud she is with your achievement. And I saw that just 2-3 days ago. And I thought, oh, that was, as you originally said, I'm really very much interested in people, achieving things now specifically for our Industrial AI podcast. So it really triggered my attention. Robert and I have been doing Industrial AI education specials in the past on our podcast, but then they were typically guests from Germany, Europe. And now I thought, okay, now we're going to hear from Harish about the Industrial AI education in India. So we listened to you and you told us about the different places, a number of different experiences. Can you share the same with regards to your education? Like what have you been doing in the past? Because then we move into the industrial AI education at the IIT.
Yes, absolutely. Briefly, I am talking about the industrial AI education. As AI continues to reshape the industries like manufacturing or automotive or aerospace, there is growing need for engineers and professionals who understand both the traditional industrial process and advanced AI technologies. So this blend between the domain expertise and this AI technologies it's actually very crucial for industries to look forward and adapt new changes. So I think this industrial AI education sits at the crossroad of domain knowledge and this data science. It equips learners not just to use AI tools, okay, but also design intelligent systems and solve real-world industrial challenges like quality inspection, predictive maintenance, and autonomous decision making. So these are the areas where this industrial AI education can leverage the people and enhance them to contribute more in the industrial application side. Yeah, that's what I think about this, about the industrial AI education.
Okay. Now, was there a specific point in time you already said you started working with data? That happened to me, which is maybe a couple of years earlier than in your case, but was it a special occasion? Was there a trigger point? Were you working with data? Was it something else that then made you decide that you wanted to do more with data, with industrial data, with industrial AI?
Yeah, as I told earlier, I was working with more of a CAD systems where we need to deal with like a lot of as-built configuration of aircraft. So, for example, this aircraft will aircraft or automotive industry, all the equipments will have more than thousands of parts will be there in the PLM side. So the data volume of data it's having is very huge amount of data. So I got a chance to work with one of the OEM. So they are actually struggling with the quality of the data. Okay, so they have some issues with the perfect quality of the data because the system contain like a 150% bill of material, they will tell. So it will actually like responsible for different variant, how to address the different variant, how to control the version of the data. So mainly all these are CAD data. So when I worked with that project, a particular one requirement came from the customer is like that. How they can clean the data and how to cleanse the data and correct it. So that was one challenging project I am part of. So when I worked with that time, I understood that more than the CAD, this data-driven decisions can contribute more on the industry side. So the effort reduction or the cost saving we can bring to the industries by applying data-driven revision, data-driven decisions can enhance the companies to leverage more on the technology, especially the advanced AI technology. So that was the crucial point where I decided why can't I use my domain expertise to migrate into this data science field.
Okay, so then eventually, I don't know at what point you arrived at, or at least maybe not physically, but we'll get to that, to the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras. Maybe tell us a little bit of the, let's say, landscape of education in India, and maybe there's other institutes where you could have studied exactly the field of industrial AI. In the end, why was it that you chose to go for the IIT in Madras?
The Indian Institute of Technology Madras is one of India's premier institutions, consistently ranked as the top engineering institute in the country. It's also known for its academic excellence, cutting-edge research, and strong industry collaborations. So also IIT Madras is hub for innovation in science and technology and engineering. And the course which I took is industrial AI in artificial intelligence. So this is actually not just a data science project. It's actually industry expert and academy and industry expert collaborated and curated the syllabus for adapting the changes which can bring in the specifically to the industry. So based on that vision, they curated the course, and I'm happy to say that this is the first batch of industrial AI where IITM started, and we are part of that course, that MTA course, in especially industrial AI. Correct.
So you're one of the first persons to have graduated on that.
Yeah, it's a first batch. It's around 50 right. people batch. So yeah, oh. I am one in that first batch of industrial AI. Correct.
Reason to be more proud.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, because I had, for whatever reason, which is maybe a very conservative idea, and then we're talking many, many years back when I was studying, that was exclusively face-to-face, let's call it that, by person. So you would always attend. And for some reason, I had assumed, but then as I was preparing, I looked for the IIT Madras. And I came to the exact page of your course. I saw that it's actually a web-enabled program.
Yeah,
right?
Web-enabled program. Correct. So yeah, I was part of the web-enabled program. So where it's actually industry-sponsored program where we will be working with the industry half the time, and half the time we'll be working with the MTech program. So what I will say that the first 1 year is more of a theory subjects, and the last 8 months, 6 months will be on industrial projects. So the final project stage, more of a working with the industry itself and creating the final project. That's what how the curriculum is organized.
Who is eligible for the course? And before I'm going to forget, one thing related to that is what is the language? So what are the specific requirements? Could anybody from around the world apply to a position at this course?
Yes, anybody in the world can apply this course. There are multiple courses IIT MTech offering. So one is joint MSc in data science, which is collaboration with the University of Birmingham. And there are interdisciplinary dual degree courses and also MS and PhD program. I think this like can be joined by any. It's open to other nationalities also.
But you need a specific degree first before you can enter this course?
Yeah, one of the first criteria to join this industrial A program is you should have a solid engineering degree, and you should have a 2 years of domain experience. So these two, it's demanding for this course.
Good. And then I see, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions of things that I saw on the website there, because I thought they were very interesting. So then it's going to be a screening test. A screening test, which I understand, I thought it was very interesting. It's a 2-hour duration and it's conducted only on Sunday, which I thought very interesting. Now, I do not know enough about Indian culture to understand what Sunday means in your culture or not, but just tell us, maybe share with us. I assume that you went through that screening as well. What are they screening you on, and how did that work?
Yes, it's actually started with the eligibility test with a fundamental understanding of the mathematics. It's like a probability, algebra, and like a basic understanding of data science, and then expertise in Python programming. So these are the areas is a minimum requirement what needed. And they also conducted one data science bridge courses that syllabus they shared. So that is actually basic fundamentals of data science that include statistics and probability basics. So these subjects, they will be conducting one written test. So that written test will be mainly focusing on elimination. So where they will be having some cutoff score. So the selected candidates from that criteria will be like selected for a personal interview. They will be checking the attitude and how the research orientation. So those criteria they will be checking, and based on that one, they are admitting for the course.
Oh, interesting. So not everybody can. I mean, in the end, there's only room for a certain number of people that can start a specific course, or.
Yeah. It's like it's IIT courses having some entry barriers there because of the competitive nature in the entrance. So for this also applied the same. Yeah.
And what about the screening test taking place on the Sunday? Is that a typical thing for India or untypical thing? I mean, here that would be like impossible because, you know, here in Europe, Germany, Sunday is a free day and you could try to do that. But how is that within the Indian culture? Is that a normal thing or is it?
It's not normal, but this is yearly once that entrance is happening. But when I did that time, it was not on a Sunday. It's on a weekday only.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But now I don't know. It's Sunday. But it is not normal. Like usually people prefer on the weekdays.
I'm just going to share a couple of other things that I wrote on the website. Python was not on there. But yeah, all the, as you say, all the probability statistics, random variables, what is that more, eigenvalue, calculus, basic machine learning, just those terms, all the terms that we, most of the listeners, most of the people that maybe not today are doing this themselves, but maybe have been confronted with or have been actively working with in the past. So that is the first thing. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting, so then the people setting up this course, they have specific career opportunities, right, in their brain of how they want to appeal to potential students. So can you share them with us? I mean, you told us you are more from the, well, design engineering. You mentioned aeroplanes, automotive. So what were maybe the other people studying? What were they doing? Or what was their plan to do after they would be ready?
Yeah, as I told earlier, this is more of a like industrial sponsored program. So one industry, people already working with one industry, they will be applying this course. And once the course is finished and it's on halfway through course or so, they will be started supporting in that projects in AAML side in the same industry. Maybe after the course also, they continue in the same industry where they can contribute more on the AAML side. If I take my example, like last 12 years, first 12 years, I am part of design and development, and then I moved to data science field. So once I started with the data science field, I enrolled in this AAML course. So now I am, after graduating from MTech, now I am working as an AAML solution architect, where I will be contributing to automotive customers in the same industry. With the same employer,
because they specifically talk about manufacturing. I guess that would be your area. They talk about logistics, energy, agriculture, oil and gas. But like in your case, it's probably typical. You are in a specific area and you want to learn more. You want to become an industrial AI expert. But then maybe typically you stay within that area with the additional knowledge that you have gained.
Correct, exactly. I am actually like working in the Center of Excellence team in automotive field. So there we are actually coming across various problems like application of reinforcement learning and applications of the generative and computer vision. So this computer vision also is a part of this course, where it's one of the elective. Course. So I took computer vision as my elective. So the computer vision application in automotive field is actually like it's required. So I'm actively contributing on the computer vision side and generative AI side in the automotive industry.
We come to that in a moment, to what the kind of courses you must take and which you can choose. How long does the curriculum take?
It's a 18 months course. First 1 year.
You have to finish within 18 months, or you can extend it, or?
Yeah, it's supposed to finish in 18 months, but there can be some exceptions, maybe.
Extensions, maybe. Okay, yeah. I did 2 studies myself when I was a young guy, and I did them 2 times, 4 years. 4 years is talking months. I don't know what that is. 48 months, I guess. And I did them exactly within the time that was there, but that was very untypical at that time. So most of the students would take longer. Now, is the specific industrial AI curriculum that we're talking about, is that more academic, theoretical? Is it more practical?
Yeah, the first 12 months out of 18 months is most focusing on the theoretical part and a practical lab. So this theoretical part include first 3 months, it will be on a foundation level. Mathematics will be covered, time series analysis, and like linear regression. So that kind of basic subjects will be covered in the initial phase. And then it will be introduced to machine learning, deep learning, reinforcement learning, optimization, and finally the computer vision subjects. So once this theoretical part is over, we will be taken the thesis or the final project. So that is actually like working with the industry and identifying real world use cases and taking that and started working on that industrial use cases as a final thesis project. And along with the corresponding industry from where they are coming. And this IITA professors will act as like the mentors for the or the guidance they will give for the correct implementation in the industry itself. So that's how it is working. Personally, I took one industrial problem in fabric industry as my final project. So identifying a defect in the fabric cloth in the industrial pipeline, where using computer vision, how can we identify the defect in the process line of the fabric?
Sounds like quality control. Or where did that take place? Where did you look for the defect?
Yeah, it's basically on the quality control part only. Yes, it's on the final production line where the quality the defect will have various sizes. It can be started from a small, minute size to a larger size. So that was the challenge. So the defect quality will vary, the size of the defect will vary, and that is actually a very good challenge to solve with the computer vision. So that was my project.
Yeah. I'm going to come back in a minute. Just one, two more questions on the curriculum. But as we're at it, tell us one step more, because I do want to know more in the end. Like, now, what are you going to do with what you have learned? So what did you work with specifically? Are there specific approaches, machine learning? You say computer vision, of course. Was that you say in combination maybe with industry? Was there an industrial partner? Were there specific solutions, so to say, that were available on the market or not? Maybe you had to design them yourself. Maybe you tell us one, two things more about such a project.
Yeah, sure. Like, this project is identified from the industry alone. So one of the customer faced the same like issue. So they come up with this problem statement, like, how can they identify this defect? So one challenge they faced was actually they don't have a proper data, especially the defect data, because the defective product comparatively very less actually. So there is
that's a typical
problem. Yeah, there is unbalance between the data between quality and non-quality product.
So what did you do then? What did you do? I mean, did you produce some defect images or what did you do?
Yeah, one of the approach was from my side was like to generate a synthetic data to overcome the defective products. And what finally I adapted is something unsupervised learning mechanism. So that will address this data scarcity. So what I proposed was actually that using unsupervised anomaly detection. So that one required only the normal samples. It not required defective samples. So normal samples will be used to train the models and learned its distribution. And any of the out of the distributions will be identified as a defect, and that will be identified as a defective areas. So this approach was my suggestion, and I haven't studied even both the approaches, that supervised learning method with the synthetic data generation and unsupervised learning with the training on the normal product.
Right. Now, could you test it in practice? Could you just put your solution in a production line and did it work the way it was supposed to? Or?
Correct. So the first, there is actually the three phases involved in the thesis project. First phase was actually the identifying the problem statement and initial literature survey and all the things. And phase two will be the bringing a solution. So phase three will be the implementation part will come. So in the phase three of the project, what I did was need to solve this one in a real world industrial challenging problem. So in the industrial setting, the major challenge was actually like, first of all, we need to address the latency issue and there will be like a constraint with respect to the compute. So what we did is like implemented the solution in a Jetson Orin, NVIDIA Jetson Orin edge devices using camera. And then implemented this solution. So this was the phase three of the project. Yes.
Yeah, and specifically asking is because if you have that kind of situation where a specific problem occurs only, let's say, once a month, maybe once a year, you don't want it.
Yeah.
Then you have to kind of simulate a problem, maybe or not.
Correct.
You go into the production line and you push something. Well, you need to be careful. You don't want to destroy something which is really valuable, but you need to find some way to make sure that 1 minute later or whatever, your solution is going to recognize that there is something wrong with the product that you're checking the quality of, right?
Correct. And also like some of the preventive measures need to trigger. So that time this latency is very, very important.
Very good. Now we already heard something. The way that you talk about these things as is, you've been doing it for many years already. And as you said, you started a couple of years back, but now you added the theoretical plus you've been doing a project. So I'm going to go one step back to the course, and then I'm going to ask you more general how you see the industrial AI change what you've been doing as a design engineer for the last 10, 15 years. So you already talked about the courses that you have to do, Mathematical Foundation Time Series, very interesting, very important for us in the industrial world, multivariate data analysis, exactly the things that I've been involved in a long time ago, but we are still doing them, or at least, well, I'm going to ask you later on when we get to Gen AI, if we're still doing the basics, but at least you have been given, you have been provided the basics. And then the practical ones, I think you talked about those. As you can, well, there is this AI and predictive maintenance I see here. That sounds a little bit like the project that you've been doing then later on, right? Could you call it predictive maintenance or?
Yeah, predictive maintenance, yes. Of course, I am able to do some projects, but on an industrial point of view, I am made to do a predictive maintenance type of projects. So mainly, I am now focusing on generative AI side. So predictive maintenance type of work
I can share with you that when I started probably 10 years ago, it was predictive maintenance. And even today, and maybe you can share with us now a little bit like what is the situation in the environment that you work in, your internal customers, maybe external customers. And I can tell you that, you know, if there is still companies, and they are typically then the smaller companies that have not yet jumped onto the bandwagon, I would always suggest him to start with making sure that they have a maximum OEE, overall equipment efficiency, you know, that they have the data and stuff before they then jump further. And then the first thing to do is always predictive maintenance, right? So predictive maintenance has been, as far as I have seen, the number one use case that gives you the easiest, the quickest way of showing what industrial AI can help you improve your overall equipment efficiency, right?
Correct. Basically, this industrial AI mainly applicable to B2B type of setup. Like the scalability and the cost reduction is possible with respect to the data, especially with the predictive maintenance applications, no? So we can have a huge amount of savings, bring it with the application of applied AI. Correct.
Now, you shared with us the project to you as part of your graduation. Now, I do want to spend the last couple of minutes, the last section of our discussion, on your perspective on, you know, the things that you've learned, the things that you have already started applying in your own, or I'm not sure, your own work, at least in your study, and I assume so. So in addition to, I believe you say you've been working 17 plus years in engineering industrial service, what is AI, industrial AI, maybe more specifically Gen AI, going to do? How is it going to change? How is it changing the job that you've been doing, which I believe you could called design engineering?
Currently, I am doing with the generative AI, one different field. Actually, it's not actually completely moved away from my design background. That is actually like applying generative AI in software development lifecycle in automotive industry. So this automotive industry will have like all the things are now working in a software defined format. They're called the software defined vehicles. So the development of a software defined vehicle involve it's actually like behavior driven design they will follow. So this software development lifecycle will have a huge opportunity to save effort, like cost, by improving the process flow completely with the application of generative AI. In this area, I contributed in their requirement generation using our Gen AI pipeline, and also from the requirement to test case creation using a generative AI pipeline. So this end-to-end pipeline is implemented, and we have shown to the customers, like, we can almost say around 70% of the manual effort of creation pipeline. So that was actually one of the application I am currently working on. Another area is in aerospace domain. A couple of my previous experience was on this maintenance manual creations and creation of using a Cortana 3D. converting legacy instruction, procedural instruction manuals into a animation kind of instruction. So it's called visual work instructions. Okay. So in this area, what we have applied is a generative AI, and using that manuals to the customer and how interactively they can actually chat with the manuals and try to get the insights from that. So for that, first we have tried is a RAG approach with the LLM. But one issue we faced with the RAG approach, that is actually the naive RAG approach, was the entire context of the complete document, it will not understand. So what we have done is like applied some agentic approach where the section based on the logical sequence of the document we segregated, and each agent will be responsible for the particular section of the document and made it like an agentic format. So that when a query comes, that will actually intelligently route towards the corresponding section and take the information and finally collect from different agents and build the final like insights. So from that insights, again, we applied a visualization dashboard and give a final input as a dashboard kind of thing. So that was actually the better visualization of the understanding during the work instruction manual creation, or the usage in that shop floor, it's happened. So these two areas, I recently worked with the generative AI.
So users, rather than needing to go and find answers to their questions in manuals, they can ask the whatever it is upfront LLM, which then through agents, and thank you for bringing me there because it's one of my favorite topics, and the agents are going to make sure that they are going to get the right answer. I saw you shared, that's already a couple of months ago, but you shared a post where there was a distinction made between agents and agentic AI. I'm not sure you recall it was making the difference between the fruits. And so maybe you want to share that. How do you see that? I mean, maybe you say the question is going to come in, and then I assume one agent is deciding which part of the visualization, or which part of the RAG-based manual the agents are going to go to. Is there a really a structural change, a difference between the two, the agentic and the agents, you think? Or
Agent is more of a single area where it will use the different tools and make the decision. But agentic AI is like a group of agent will collaborate and achieve the task. It's something like that. But whatever I have told about the agentic RAG is something different. So this is RAG. It's actually the agentic way of applying the RAG. The retrieval of portion will be based on the different decisions. So the question will be splitted and intelligently passed to different agents, and the information is fetched from the different part of the document and then finally combined. So it's actually addressing some of the limitations of the naive RAG, we can tell. Naive RAG is actually like one issue with the naive RAG is it will not give the complete context of the document. So wherever in the assembly procedure document, we may have the information spread over the different part of the document or different section of the document. So the question answer, if you want to answer perfectly, so we need to refer different part of the document if we are answering manually. So the same way we need to achieve with the agentic approach. So that's why this agent RAG is working.
Yeah, well, for me, they are still all agents, but that I'm not going to go into too much of the detail. For me, they are pieces of software which work one way or the other, more or less. We perceive them as more or less intelligent. And the one that is at the top, for me, is an agent, in your case, deciding if it's going to go to number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the one that is number 5 is going to find something in the number 5 section. But that's a more philosophical question, I think. The other one you shared, it's about FreeCAD MCP, so the Model Context Protocol. Tell us about that. Is that realistic these days? Because whenever all these new things come in, there are so many people that always go to the hype side of, oh, it's so hype, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, and sometimes forget. But nevertheless, the fact that you share this, do you believe we can already today start using MCP as an example of this FreeCAD MCP?
Yeah, MCP, I feel it's actually like one changing technology where it's very useful, actually, like especially like working with the legacy systems or working with the SQL database. So wherever this retrieval of the information needed from the different sources, so this MCP will be acting as a unique connection between combining like retrieval from the different sources. So in that way, it's actually one usable technology where the complexity of the retrieval, we can make it easily by adapting this MCP server. So that area is actually, I am interested, and I think this will help in the different industry, even especially the industrial AI use cases where we need to actually like take the data from the legacy systems and put it in a database and then query the database to get the correct context to for the LLM to process. So in that area, I think this MCP can contribute on the easiness of defining this process flow.
Very good. I agree. It's not perfect, but it's very easy to see how it's going to be very powerful. And all the big tech companies are jockeying for position, one's MCP, and then there's the A2A and all the other ones. We're going to see which one is going to be, in the end, the de facto standard. But I would agree they have a huge potential. Two more questions. One I would like to understand. So is this industrial AI that you've just graduated on in the engineering environment, is it going to create new opportunities for you and other people who done this course, I assume mainly Indian people, for India and or for global activities as well?
Yes. I think we have smart engineers there. So if they can augment their skill with the use of AI tools, they can actually can have a 10x better than their skills. So in that way, I think anyone who can augment their skills will have an impact on the industry. So one thing, when I initially joined in MTech in one course, one professor was telling this AI, applied AI is actually the intersection of domain knowledge and mathematics and this programming. So if you visualize as a Venn diagram of these three, the sweet spot will be the area where three will contribute a huge impact on the productivity. So that way, it will be more helpful for there to augment their own skills with the learning new technologies.
Okay, final question. Maybe you can share with us as detailed or not as you can or are allowed a little bit about you, your environment, your team. Where are you based? Who are your colleagues? Not by name, but what are they doing typically? What is the kind of functions that you have around you, and then who knows, maybe you are looking for new colleagues, and if so, what should they bring? I assume maybe you're gonna request that everybody's gonna have an industrial AI grade from MTech. I don't know.
Yeah, correct. We around 40 people from our organization was part of that industrial AI program. So all are coming from different supporting functions. For example, some are working from aerospace, some are working from automotive, some are from like other domains, but all are coming under industry segment. So we are together part of this journey of this IMDEC industrial AI program. So now also we are connecting each other and sharing our knowledge among each other. Yeah, that's about the colleagues from the industrial AI part. And currently I am working with an automotive COE team where they mainly focusing on this generative AI and computer vision area. So generative AI side, we are mainly focusing on this software development lifecycle area of the automotive industry, where process automation using Gen AI. And other area is a computer vision, where driver assistance systems using the computer vision area, how different industries we can adapt that. So that is more of a computer vision area side. So these two area, we have a couple of people working with me. I am sharing them my knowledge, whatever I learned from this industrial AI, we are actively contributing as a team.
Thank you very much, Harish. That was very interesting. And just kind of looking back in my brain, what we have been discussing, maybe the first thing is like how what you've been saying, it feels so much like it almost like it could have been, you know, a course that, you know, somebody would have been talking about that you could have had here in, you know, I'm based in the wider Munich environment at the Technical University in Munich. And I mean it in a positive sense, right? So if I see the details of the courses you've been doing, the combination of theory and applying the theory in a practical environment, the first project that you did, they feel very much like, yeah, well, that's exactly the kind of things that I have been, I mean, I'm still working with almost like every day, which is again a confirmation of all these digital technologies and, you know, artificial intelligence being the latest is making the world so almost like smaller, right? It's like bringing us together. It has been very easy for me to understand what it is that you've been doing. Thank you very much for that. Congratulations again, and good luck with applying the new things that you've learned in your professional career.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure sharing my journey. If there is one message I would like to leave to your listeners, it is like industrial AI is just not a buzzword anymore. It's a bridge between a traditional engineering expertise and possibilities unlocked by data and intelligent system. So we need to make use of that by learning more and being up to date with the latest trends.
Very good. Strong support for that closing statement from my side. Harish, thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you, Peter. You too. Bye.